I think this is an important question. So today's message is, why was I created? Young people, I think that you should know this as early as possible. And maybe there's some of you adults in here that is like, I struggle with this. Why was I created? What's my purpose in being created? So we're going to talk about that today. I'm going to give you the answer, and then we're just going to go through scripture. You would think that this should be common knowledge as a Christian. And it's unfortunately not. But many times, just because sometimes the world seeps into the church, we adopt language from the world and don't even realize sometimes that that language is not biblical. Let me give you an easy one. You ever heard the term having self-esteem? Right? Pretty common term. You might be somebody who has high self-esteem or low self-esteem. In the name of Jesus, you should have no self-esteem, because the Bible tells us we're supposed to die to ourselves. And if you understand that you are not created for you, I'm not created for me, but you're created for His image. That's on your coloring sheet, kids. Created in the image of God. It changes your perspective on things. Because now it's not, I need to figure out what my life is and then get God and Jesus and Holy Spirit to come alongside me and guide me in my life. Your life is not your own. The Bible says it was bought with a price. So many times, even Christians, definitely the world is selfish beyond measure. But even Christians, if we're not careful, remember we broke up with the word Christian, followers of Jesus, if we're not careful, self can still creep back in, even with little phrases like that. Like somebody might say, oh, well, my kid just doesn't have a lot of self-esteem. Well, they shouldn't have any self-esteem. But if we ingrain that early on, then what does that mean? That their sense of worth comes from what their friends think, comes from what family members think. And how many of you know sometimes people have bad friends and bad family members that are speaking not life and love into people, but death and curses many times? Have we ever either seen in a movie, or maybe, you know, God forbid that we have maybe uttered this phrase to other family members, and hopefully we've all repented of it, is if you keep doing this, you will amount to nothing. That is speaking death over someone. We're supposed to be speaking life. So you can correct a child, but you do it in love and say, oh, I'm confused. Why would you have that behavior? You're a Jesus boy. And so it's not condemnation. It's, oh, you're confused about your identity. You're a Jesus boy. Jesus boys don't do that. You're a Jesus girl. Jesus girls don't do that. And you speak identity over them instead of this self stuff that can creep in. Is this making sense? Okay, so if this is new to you, you were not created for you. You were created for His image. If you go to Genesis, the Bible says, let us, and I love that it says us because it's plural, because God is a triune God, let us make mankind, or let us make people in our image and our likeness. So Jesus did not come just to forgive your sins and give you a one-way ticket to heaven, even though that's included. He came to save you from yourself. He came to give you His life so that you would die to yours and receive His and now live for Him. We are not sinners saved by grace just trying to get by in life. We are people of God who have died to ourselves, and now our sole identity is Christ in us, the hope of glory. This is really important, because anytime you move back to self, if it becomes, like how somebody said this one time, how many times have we maybe either said the phrase or heard somebody say it, well, I've incorporated Jesus into my life. That's wrong. You don't incorporate Jesus into your life because your life doesn't belong to you. Jesus is now your life. And this is some of the things that we're going to be talking about baptism, because people think baptism is this thing where I go into the water and now I'm not going to go to hell anymore. That is true. But I heard a pastor say it like this one time. If that's your motive, you'll never rise above your motive. If your motive is a get out of hell free card, then your motive is not going to be die to self. Your motive is not going to be, I'm going to be like Jesus when I go into the world. You have to reconcile in yourself what your motive is. If you're coming to God for what he can do for you, how he can bless your life, how he can make your life easier, and all of these kinds of things, your motive is wrong. Your motive should be, is I'm coming to God so that he can recreate me in his image. Because once you eliminate self from your life, everything starts to make sense. Because if you're sitting here going, what do you mean I was made to serve people? I don't want to serve people. I'm entitled to certain rights that I have. That's all self-talk. That's all self-thinking. That's not the way that a follower of Jesus should be thinking. You died to self. If you follow Jesus, you died to self. You picked up your cross and you're following him. When do we ever see Jesus talking about where's my rights? Where's my downtime? When do I get a vacation? Guys, when are you guys going to learn this stuff? Now, at one point, he did say that they were a faithless, perverse generation. How long will I stay with you and bear with you? But what was he saying? You guys need to learn this stuff. I'm not going to be here forever. He wasn't leaving because he was sick of humanity and sick of his disciples messing up all the time. He was leaving because he was dying to pay for sin, resurrecting and going to the Father. But could you imagine if that's what we did, if we say we're supposed to be like Jesus, like when we complain about people, gossip about people, complain about life, my boss this, my job that, could you ever see Jesus doing that? Ever? Well, then why would we? It's a different way of thinking, and we're going to see that. So let's jump into the Word. You're like, Pastor, you talked an awful lot. Let's see what the Word says. All right, we're going to make sure that it's going to line up with what I'm saying, because I'm really just telling you what's in it anyway. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. That's in your New Testament. I'm going to be reading from the New American Standard Bible. Again, we're going to read this because I didn't want to create like 25 slides for my wonderful pro presenter person, Keith. So Colossians 3, starting at verse 3. So I talked a lot about dying, so right out of the gate, lo and behold, what does this say? Verse 3, for you have died. For you have died. Now he's talking to Christians. So if some of you are like, well, I'm not born again. I haven't been water baptized. I haven't been filled with the Spirit. Okay, well, then you are very much alive. But he's talking to born again believers. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with him in glory. This is talking about the second coming of Jesus. That in your spirit, which is what gets born again, right? When you come out of the water, your body didn't change. Your soul didn't change either, because your soul has to be trained by your spirit, because your soul is your mind, your will, and emotions. You didn't automatically know everything about the Bible. You didn't automatically, all your actions are all of a sudden perfect. So it's your spirit that gets born again. So it says you're done. So, but when Jesus returns, it says we're going to behold Jesus, because Jesus is already in his glorified body. And when we behold him instantaneously, it says we will be revealed or uncovered, unveiled with him in glory. So the new body that Jesus has in his glorified state, when he returns, we will all get that body. Yeah. You know, it's like when Jesus says, you who without sin cast the first stone, and it says one by one they dropped their rocks from the oldest to the youngest. When I said we get new bodies, that's kind of how the amen sounded. The old people right away, amen, and then it got further down to the younger people. But amen, we're all getting new bodies. Okay, so you have died. So that's so Paul is making a statement of past tense because he's talking to a church full of believers. So make no mistake, when you go into that water, you are going in there to die. Now, again, clarification for young people. I'm not talking about physical death. I'm talking about dying to yourself, your wants, your needs, your desires, and say, I'm going to follow Jesus. It's not about what I want anymore. I'm not talking about physical death. Just want to be very clear. Okay, so it says that our life is hidden with Christ. When he returns, then we will be revealed. That means on the outside. So verse 5, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead. So again, this idea that you got born again because you died to yourself and now you have the life of Christ in you, now you need to consider, or the Bible uses the word reckon, which means that you have to apply the reality on the inside to the outside. Does that make sense? So that if you're like, on the inside, my spirit's identical with Jesus, then that should be lived out in what we do. Okay, it's not just like, I'm like Jesus on the inside, but on the outside, I'm me. No, it should reflect through you because God came to restore the image, right? The image and likeness of him. So it says, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which all amount to idolatry. So anything about self, self-seeking, self-wanting, all of that stuff, basically the Apostle Paul is telling the church in Colossae that all basically amounts to idolatry. And that might not make sense if you understood what was going on, because you're like, well, isn't idolatry like praying to a god that we know that there are no other gods, but it's this statue that represents a god? Yes, but if you ever read about gods that people served, do you know why they served those gods? For their own motives. Like, if I want my crops to be, you know, good, then I pray to this god. If I want my marriage to be good, I pray to this god. If I want to be fruitful and have lots of kids, then I pray to this god. And so on and so forth it goes. So what is it? It's not about honoring God. It's I'm going to say that I honor this God so I can get what I want. That's why greed, money, all of that kind of stuff, it's all idolatry. That's why when I was saying earlier, what's your motive for following Jesus? Because if your motive is, you know, I want to go to heaven, you know, I want God to bless me, I want to be able to have this and have this and have this, and I'm not saying that God is not going to give you those things also, but your Bible says seek first, everybody say first, the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So while you're living like Christ, reflecting Christ, being the image and likeness of God, then those blessings and provisions follow that. But don't come to God for what he can do for you, come to God so he can restore his image on the inside of you. And then you live like him, walk like him, talk like him. And we're actually going to see that this is actually, people say, well, what's God's will for my life? We're going to see that when we get to Romans. But I got to go through this stuff quickly because we had so many announcements and all kinds of other stuff. Okay, so it's all idolatry. Verse 6, for it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked. Because again, he's talking to believers when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside. So he gave them a list, and now he's giving them another list. Because people are always like, well, how do we know what sin is? I can point you to very exhaustive lists in the New Testament if you want to know, like, well, is this a sin? Is this a sin? Because there are exhaustive lists. So we just had one list, now we have another. Now put aside anger and wrath and malice and slander and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another. Look at this. Why? Since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. Right? You died. You died to that. You laid it aside. And have put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the what? The image. According to the image of the one who created him. So again, going back to the why was I created? You were created for God's image. Now, this says that you have to put these things aside, because I've been guilty of this, and so I'm not condemning you if you've ever prayed a prayer like this. Do not pray, God, do this in my life. Like, God, help me to be a less angry person. The Bible says, put off anger. Does this make sense? Sometimes we ask God to do things that he told us to do. Now, if you're following the Spirit, the Bible says you will manifest certain things, right? And I know manifest is a huge word. Certain things will just come out of you. So if you're following the Spirit, young people, then that means you're going to have love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. If you're following the flesh, if you're following me and I and self and idolatry, there's other things that are going to be revealed. But this scripture clearly says that once you have become born again, once you have been filled with the Holy Spirit, it is your job to put off and put on. Amen? So if you're like, well, I'm just an angry person, or sometimes this, sometimes that, you are believing a lie. Because on the inside, 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, he who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. On the inside, you are identical with Jesus. It's up to you whether you're going to put Jesus on or leave him off and keep him locked up on the inside. It's your choice. It's my choice. Unfortunately, many teachers that teach radically on the sovereignty of God, and when I say radically, I don't mean in a good way. Do I believe that God created the universe? He's outside of time and space in that level of sovereignty? Absolutely. But the idea that he is controlling each and every little thing in every part of your life, that's nowhere in Scripture. And see, and unfortunately, if you've been trained to think that way, then just everything that happens is God's will. If someone gets in a car accident and died, must have been God's will. If someone gets sick, must have been God's will. If someone got well, it must have been God's will. Everything is just God's will because he's just supernaturally controlling everything. If that's the case, then what's the purpose of the devil? Right? Why are we supposed to submit ourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from me? If God's controlling everything, if he's coming at me, it must be because God allowed it. And see, when you think this way, it takes you away from a loving father. It takes you away of the idea that we are sons and daughters of God. And when we see the devil, we're submitted to God, resist the devil, and we just step on his head. We don't go, God, take the devil away. He's like, I told you to resist the devil. But how do we resist? We submit ourselves to God. So unfortunately, a lot of times in Christendom, all of our responsibility as followers of Jesus gets cast aside because we just think everything that's happening is God's sovereign will. Brothers and sisters, if you've heard that, I love you, it's wrong. Put that out of your mind. I'm not saying that God is not sovereign in the fact that he is God, that he created everything. The Bible says that nothing was created without Christ. Everything was created through Christ. So I'm not bringing God down. I'm telling you biblically, God gave us his Spirit and told us to do certain things. Amen? It's important to know that because we have a responsibility. All right, let's go on. So it says, do not lie to one another since you have laid aside the old self and put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one. So your knowledge that you are made in the image of God and are now one with him should birth new behavior in you. Amen? So, and it's not like I must try really hard not to be angry. I must try really not hard not to say those words that I used to say. That's not that. Focus on who you are. Focus that you are made in the image of God. Focus that you are identical with Jesus. Focus on the fact that Jesus would never use language like that, so therefore I'm never going to use language like that because Jesus is my brother and he's in me and I'm in him. But if you're striving to not do these things, you have just brought self back to life because now it's about willpower. It's about white-knuckling it. It should not be that way. It's remind yourself, oh, wait, I'm a child of God. I don't talk like that anymore. Oh, wait, I'm made in his image. I'm supposed to be shining and not bringing darkness and shadow everywhere I go. Being a bummer everywhere I go. Being a sad sack everywhere I go. Like, you ever just around people that just bum you out? They don't have the light of Jesus in them. But recognize that and realize that they're bummed because they don't know who they are. And you can love them into wholeness and completeness and tell them who they could be in Christ. I don't see that about Jesus. Like, some people are just like, well, you know, I'm just not very peppy. I'm just not very giddy. Like, could you imagine if, like, the disciples are like, man, like, Jesus must be in a bad mood today. And John's like, I know, totally. Like, let's just give him some time because he's in a real bad mood. No, Jesus was always shining bright. And that's who you are, and that's who I am, if you are born again in Jesus. So right there, clearly in Colossians, we are being renewed in our mind to the image of the one. And it says, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, and circumcised and uncircumcised, and barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free man, but Christ is all and in all. Which, that's what the world is doing today, right? Well, which political side are you on? What color is your skin? Are you here illegally or legally? And all of these things that are dividing us. And I'm not trying to pull these issues in. I'm saying, isn't it amazing how the devil has come in to find subtle differences with everybody so he can divide us into camps? It doesn't matter when you're here in this family. It doesn't matter what the color of your skin is. It doesn't matter if maybe, you know, someone grew up in a better household and someone grew up in a terrible household. Like, none of that stuff matters. Your backgrounds don't matter. None of it matters because now we're one in Christ. You know that the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that we're not supposed to know anyone after the flesh anymore. It says we're only to know them after the Spirit. They're either our brothers and sisters in Christ or they're not. Some people have always told me, well, Pastor, you're very black and white. I'm like, well, the Bible's very black and white. Man, there's not a lot of gray area in the Bible because gray area is confusing. And confusion, the Bible says, is from who? The devil, the enemy. All right, we spent enough time in this part of Colossians. Let's go on. Okay, Romans 12:1. Now, these two are going to be on the screen. I want to show you this pattern. Even though Paul is the same person who wrote to the church in Colossae under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he's also the person who wrote to the church in Rome. So this is the next verse is the more familiar passage that people know, but I want to give you some context. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercy of God, and I put this in parentheses, what Jesus accomplished on the cross, because if you read the chapters before that, that's what he's talking about. The mercy of God is Jesus on the cross in our place. So he says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies, not your soul, not your spirit, your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God. This act of service, look at this, is a logical response. So sometimes we think like, man, I'm going to have to die for my faith. Like, my life is not my own. It now belongs to Jesus and I'm supposed to live like Jesus. And sometimes in our flesh, we think like, man, that's a tall order. That's a high calling. This says it's supposed to be our logical response. In the Greek, it's literally the word logikos, which is where we get our word logic from. Like, you saying my life doesn't belong to me anymore as a response to Jesus dying to restore the image on the inside of you is a logical response. It's thank you, and now you go and be him everywhere you go. It's a logical response. So you have this because of what Jesus did. Now your bodies are simply here on planet Earth to serve and love one another, right? A new commandment I give to you, love one another as I have loved you. That means serve them, love them, show mercy to them, forgive them. And you don't analyze your situation and then decide whether forgiveness is given. You don't analyze your situation and then decide if mercy is given. Could you imagine if God looked at us that way? Well, this is the third, fourth, fifth, hundredth time Josh has messed up, and they're all looking at each other like, should we really show him mercy this time? I don't know. We need to let him sweat it out a little bit. We know God isn't like that. So if he dispenses mercy and compassion without limit, why would we not do the same? But what do? We look at our circumstances, we size up what just happened, how bad were we hurt, and then we decide, like we're God, whether we dispense mercy or not. Do you know that the Bible talks about to the degree that we dispense forgiveness to other people is going to be the same degree that God dispenses forgiveness to us? I would like to be forgiven every time, all the time. Right? Well, then that should be extended to anyone who has wronged me, brought offense towards me, said mean things to me, whatever the case, that kill me. I know we don't have a grid for that because we live in America, but I'm telling you, those days could be closer than you think. Okay, so we're going to go to the next verse, but I wanted you to see this verse because this is one that more people know. Yeah, go ahead and go to 12:2. And do not look like, many of your scriptures say, do not be conformed. Okay, I'm endeavoring because our awesome young people are in here to try to, I don't always do it perfectly, so I ask for your forgiveness, is to try to use language that isn't so churchy and big words and that kind of stuff. So it does say conform, but what does conform mean? Look like. Literally in the Greek, it means bear the image of. So do not bear the image of the world. Do not look like the world. Rather, be transformed by the renovation of your mind. In the Greek, that's what the word is. Renewing, a lot of people say renewing. Well, what's renewing meant? It means out with the old, in with the new. It's a renovation. We've used this example before. Like if you're going to get new cabinets, right? You don't put the other cabinets and just glue them to the existing cabinets. You don't take your new ones and glue them to the... You pull out the old cabinets and bring in the new cabinets. Right, Dave? I just want to make sure I've never put in cabinets in my life. Okay. So be transformed by the renovation of your mind. Why? Why? Why should there be transformation? Why should, by renewing my mind, to know that I've been recreated in the image, right? Because I was created in the image, and then the fall happened, and now Jesus died on the cross so he could restore the image. And so this says, be transformed, or you could think of it like this, have my image restored. How? By the renovation of your mind. Because if you're sitting here and going, well, I don't think I'm identical to Jesus in my spirit, I don't really agree with any of this, then you'll never live that way. Because true transformation comes by what you believe. Do you see why believing is so important? Do you see why faith is so important? Like when I try to tell people, I'm like, listen, God wants to heal people today. God wants you well. And then people that, you know, again, believe God's just picking and choosing who he's going to heal and who he's not, they're like, well, I don't believe that. And I'm like, well, it won't work for you. Right? Like, if I'm like, I don't believe that this will support my weight, I'm not going to sit on it. But the fact that I sit on it is because I believe that it absolutely will. So when people want to fight on these side issues of like healing and that, you know, God wants you well and that kind of stuff, they're like, well, I don't believe that. And I'm like, well, I'm not surprised that your church is full of a bunch of sick people and dying people and you never pray for them because you're just, you pray the prayer, if it be your will, and then just assume whatever happens, it was God's will. Can I say this loud and proud? That is wrong. God didn't say, pray to me and I'll decide whether I want to heal that person. He said, go and heal the sick. Go and raise the dead. Go and cast out demons. Go and cleanse lepers. You know that leprosy was so contagious that, like, if your skin would rub up with another person that had leprosy, you could get leprosy. And it was an incurable disease. And what? How did Jesus heal? He touched him. Could we get to a place, brothers and sisters, where we believe that we are so clean in Jesus, that we are so pure in Jesus, not in and of ourselves, because of what he did, that we believe that people that could be super contagious, instead of going, I'm not going to go around them, I'm going to get right in their face and touch them because purity is going to cleanse them. Well, I don't believe that. Okay. Now we establish where you're at or where I'm at, because that's the bottom line. It's what do you believe? Maybe some of you are in here going, well, I believe Jesus died on the cross. I believe that he rose from the dead. I believe I'm going to heaven. And that's just where you're at right now. My job is to challenge you to go beyond that and to take you into great places where, what if we were seeing so many people healed, so many people raised from the dead, all of these things, just like the book in Acts, where people would say, surely God is among us. Amen. Okay, so you're transformed, restored into the image by the renovation of your mind. You will reflect more of the image of God the more that you believe that the image of God has already been restored on the inside. It's all about your believer. And why? Why is this? Why do we need to believe? Why does the image need to be restored? He says it, so that we may prove. Everyone say, so we may prove. What the will of God is, that which is good, that which is acceptable, and perfect. Which, usually in the Greek, perfect, and it is in this case, translates complete. Right? The Bible, we've read these passages before. The Bible says, you are complete in him. In him you have been made complete. We read in passages where Jesus says that if you love your enemies, you will be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. But Jesus has already brought to completion on the inside of you. He's just saying, put that completion on and live it. That's it. Don't ask God for completion. Don't ask God for joy. Do not ask God for peace. If you are born again and filled with the Spirit, you have those things on the inside of you already. I think sometimes people are like, you know, like the hamster in the wheel, and they're just spinning because they're asking God for all of these things that God's like, if he could be confused, he would be confused. He's like talking to the other two, Jesus and the Holy Spirit. He's like, didn't we put our spirit on the inside of him? Didn't we already give them the joy and the peace and the patience? Why are they asking us for it? Your prayer life matters because how you pray shows what you believe. This is not condemnation. Hopefully that this is renewing, we're renewing minds here and being transformed, and you're now realizing you are as much the image of God on the inside if you are born again and filled with the Spirit as you will ever be. You're not trying to become more in his image. You already are completely in his image. Understand that and live it. That's it. And it says, why? Why do we renew our minds? Why are we transformed? Why do we start to put on all of these things that God already is? Like we said, that you are love because God is love. Why? So we can prove it. And and many times churches are walking around going, oh, my life stinks. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I messed up yesterday. I'm probably going to mess up tomorrow. That's not proving what the will of God is. You're supposed to be imitators of God. Ephesians 5:1 is beloved children. We've gotten it so wrong. And we've gotten so far off track when it's simple. Get born, die to self, get born again, and be Jesus everywhere you go. That's it. Now it seems, it's a simple concept, but it's not easy, amen? Because we're encased in this stuff that we're supposed to die to. You need to do it on a daily basis. It's always trying to come back to life. All right, let's go on. Okay, so we did Colossians 3, 3 through 11, then we broke into Romans. Now we're gonna pick it back up at 14. I'm almost done. So earlier, I'm not gonna read on it, but when he tells us to put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, all the bad things, right? He then gives us a list on things to put on, which are, most of them are fruits of the Spirit. I don't have time to go into that, but I'm just saying that's the list that he gives. So when we pick it up in verse 14, it says, beyond all these things. And again, some of the things that were listed is compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. Whoever has a complaint against you, just as the Lord forgave you, so also you should. So going back to forgiveness, right? You don't get to choose whether you forgive or not. It says, forgive as Jesus forgave you. You ever notice everything is exactly what Jesus did for you? Love one another exactly as I loved you. Show mercy to one another exactly as I showed mercy to you. Why? Because he understands oneness, so should we. So it says, oh no, it is in the list. I've got to look at the verses. So we do pick it up at 12. I'm sorry. Let's look at that list. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also you should. Or also should you. Now, here's the cool part. 14. Beyond all these things, which that was a pretty exhaustive list, amen. So far and way above all of those things, put on what? Love. My wife's always just like, you always teach on love. I'm like, it's all over the Bible. I'm like, I even if I'm looking up a different subject, I'll just run into it. And how many of you understand that 1 Corinthians 13 says that you can give your body to be burned? You can give away all your money. You can have every gift of the Spirit. But if you have not love, it says you are nothing. So I think love's a pretty big deal, amen? So beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Love is the perfect bond of unity. I think I got more slides. Okay, Romans 13, 12 through 13. Again, we're just creating again this idea that we were created for his image. Let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. There it is again. We're putting these things on. Why do you have to put them on? Because it's a wardrobe on the inside of you of Christ. Everything that Christ has, you have, but it's your responsibility, my responsibility to put it on. So again, don't ask God to do something that he's telling you to do. Oh God, I need more compassion and mercy. No, you have his compassion and mercy on the inside of you. Just put it on. Lord, I want to be more like you. You are identical with me. Put it on. So lay aside darkness. Put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day. No more drunkenness, sex outside of marriage, lust, being led by your flesh, fighting, or jealousy. Again, he's listing deeds of the flesh. Sin. Let's go on. Next verse. Rather, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. He must be living on the inside of us if we can put him on. So again, we're not sinners saved by grace. I'm not Pastor Josh just trying to get by. I have Jesus on the inside of me. If you are born again and filled with the Spirit, you have Jesus on the inside of you. And what is he saying? You already have him on the inside. Now put him on. Do you know that Jesus explains this so many different ways? Like, here, Paul is saying, put it on. Jesus says, you are light, therefore let your light shine before men so they will know what the will of the Father is. And we just saw earlier, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, have his image come on the outside of you, then you can prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. So could it be, again, that you just get born again, filled with the Spirit, you have everything you will ever need, just put it on. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and have no forethought concerning the flesh in regards to its desires. What does it mean, have a forethought? It means if your only focus is, how can I shine today? How can I be salt and light? How can I be love today? How can I extend mercy when in the natural mercy doesn't seem that needs to, that a normal person would be able to give it, but a Holy Spirit Jesus person would. It means if your fixation, Colossians 3:1, we didn't read this. It says, set your mind on things above, not on things below. So if we were just fixated on Jesus, we were just fixated on the Spirit and the Father. All we just did was have his presence. You have to be aware of his presence on the inside of you. And that was our sole desire. We're not going to have thoughts about the flesh. We're not going to go, well, I hope I don't do that today. Of going, well, if you're even thinking about it, that's wrong. Keep your mind on things above, not on things below. Again, brothers and sisters, don't hear me preaching. Are you saying that we have to be perfect? I'm telling you what you have, and it's your choice on the daily to put it on. That's it. It's your choice. It's my choice. That's why you could have a whole room of Christians and see different results on the outside because of mind renewal and who's making choices to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and give no forethought concerning the flesh in regards to its desires. So on the inside, Jesus is living, and you just need to put him on. So why were you created? You were created to reflect his image. And if, again, you were born again, the image has already been restored on the inside of you. So just put it on.